Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Father's Day. I loved to focus in and enter into the presence of our loving Heavenly Father, don't you? And as we move forward with the sevenfold Spirit of God, I put everything at least back in symmetric order for those of you that were just stressed out, because not only are there two lamps not yet lit, but I turned it off of the center and caused a disturbance in the force for some of you. As we're looking at the Spirit of Grace, everybody say grace. We're going to be continuing in the Spirit of Grace. This is the final message, not ever, but for this series on that Spirit of Grace. We've learned so far as we look at that from my right to left and your left to right. No, your right to left and my right to left. No, anyway. And your left to right. Starting at that center flame that's lifted up slightly is that spirit of love, that agape love. And as we're drawn into God's presence, our runway lights, our place of approach into the holy place, is that we approach Him with agape love because He first of all loved us. We love Him because He first loves us. And what kind of love is that? We heard about that earlier at communion, that He would die, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He would send forth His only Son to make a payment for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. That is agape love. And Peter quickly learned in the final two chapters of John, as it's recorded there, that he didn't have the right stuff. He later would be infused and touched from on high with that. And when Jesus questioned him, Peter, do you love me like that? The go and die for me and lay down your life for me kind of love. His answer was very telling. You know I love you as a close kinsman and somebody who has been in fellowship one with the other. And he avoided answering straightforward Jesus' answer. But how many know Jesus isn't put off? He circles right back around and asks him again, Peter, do you love me like that? And he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you like a brother, a fellow Israelite, like a member of the tribe of Israel and the covenant people of God. But I haven't got it. And then Jesus really pushed it home. You would have thought he would have left well enough alone. And he pushed it home and he said, do you even love me like a close kinsman, brother? Scripture records for us that Peter was cut to his heart. And then Jesus restores him. And from that point forward, something was released in Peter's life. It's called the shedding forth of the love of God in a person's heart. And he and later baptized, filled, anointed with the Holy Spirit, and eventually would die upside down on a crucifix. Not being worthy, he figured, to die in the same manner as Jesus. Something happened in Peter's life. I know what it is. It's incredible, amazing, unimaginable and spectacular love of God. Would you give the Lord a hand clap? That's awesome. We press beyond that to the great humility of Christ in that he came not to be served but to serve and lay down his life as a ransom for many. To put on this clothing of humility and to serve. God loves so much that he serves all of his creation. And think about this. God loves you so much. He serves you. He serves you. The great wisdom of God, to come to know the ways of God, which are higher than our ways, beyond our ways and our imagination, and yet they are revealed to us by His Spirit, and to ultimately come into this clear light of truth where we no longer love darkness and we fight the urge. We no longer even have the urge to sew together some fig leaves and give ourselves something to wear. But we are comfortable being clothed upon with the righteousness of Jesus Christ and yet having that searching of the Holy Spirit which takes everything that is hidden and lays it bare before God. And we find comfort in His presence because we know His presence and that He loves us. These are the things, and this is the work of the Spirit that moves us into the presence of God. But there's more than just being in the presence of God. He wants us to also be in the presence of people. Now, just allow this to soak into your heart. Maybe you'll have a hard time accepting it right at face value right now this morning as I say this. But just as much as you want to be and desire to be in the presence of God, God desires and wants to be in your presence. Think about that. He wants to be with you. He is the God who wants to be there. He's the one who knocks on the door and says, if anyone hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. He wants to do some things in our presence so that we can then go forth with his presence and make a difference in other people's presence. We begin to discover this great love of God that now not only do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, mind, strength, but we love our neighbor as ourselves. And we're willing to love them with the same love with which Jesus loves us. And because he loves, it's inescapable, he gives. Everybody say give. He's selfless. Not only does he serve, but he gives. And if we could just get into that close proximity to this idea of the presence of God and having and receiving his love lavished upon us, having his righteousness conferred to us, having his being in his presence and coming into that spirit of humility, and then being a part of the distribution of his grace. You know, it's fun to give things away. I just had the opportunity because somebody gave me something, I was able to give it away. And there's three guys who received something this morning. They didn't merit it, didn't earn it. They just got a random drawing and they received a gift. And inside they went, yeah. Now they themselves could go out, each one of them, and buy that. But it's something that was given to them, and therefore, it's special. It's something that touches their heart. A gift makes room for that person, and that's an example of grace. As freely as you have received, freely give. It's a release, and that's what grace is about. It's about distributing the stuff of God out to people who desperately need it, who are dying without it, and they want to know something real about God. We talk about grace connections, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace is God's resources at Christ's expense. Everything that God has been placed on the line to be given to us. But it doesn't stop there. We don't find ourselves as the great Dead Sea. We have two folks that were just down on the shores of the Dead Sea, the lowest spot on earth, the McCoys. That big grin on their face is because finally they got to Israel. Welcome them home with an applause this morning. Yeah, we sure missed them. We followed them on Facebook. And I was just delighted because I knew they had one of the greatest guides in Israel with Malcolm Cartier, and they were going to see stuff and hear stuff that was going to absolutely set them on fire. And now they're back, and they're going to want to tell you. And I'm hoping to go drink some fizzy water over at their house and hear some more. It'll be up to them whether you get to come with me. So I just wanted to let you know that. So, we don't want to be a Dead Sea, simply receiving the flow of the Jordan and absorbing all of those chemicals and all of those minerals into us. No, Jesus said, as you have freely received, freely give. We get to be in the giving business, and that is last. It's fun to stand here and give away toolkits. It's fun to give away prizes and gifts. It's fun to love on people and just give them little mementos that says, hey, I care about you, you're significant, you're important to me. It's so fun to give. God loves to give. Jesus loves to give. The Holy Spirit loves to give. The people of God need to fall in love with giving. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Some of you are afraid that I'm going to talk about an offering. No. I'm talking about this wonderful stuff of God, these wonderful resources of God, God's resources at Christ's expense. We're talking stuff like salvation, deliverance, Baptism in the Holy Spirit, healing, blind eyes being opened, bodies being touched, spirit, soul, and body being renovated and renewed. Someone who was dying coming to life. Someone who was depressed and without hope in this world, finally having a light come on and being transformed and changed by the glorious grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him a hand clap of praise this morning. So, this spirit of grace involves love, humility, and faith, and we open our heart and we drop our resistance and we receive grace. Last week we looked at the grace arrival. I love it when grace arrives, don't you? Sometimes it'll sneak up on you. Sometimes it'll come with fanfare. You have to keep your eye on the horizon. You have to keep looking, the 360 on a swivel, constantly looking, because God's grace is amazing and his ways of delivering it are unusual at times, but he is in the giving business and he loves to give. When we come together in unity, he comes with a suddenly moment. He fills the room. He doesn't leave any place unfilled. He comes with abundance and superabundance. He comes with fire, with passion, with excitement. He comes with a transformation and a change of basic communications. He comes with a spirit enablement that no matter how we feel that we are short or not enough, he is more than enough, and he comes and he anoints us and he makes us able. And he leaves people in bewilderment. What, say what? They did that? God can do that through people? He used that person. I didn't think that person could do that. That was amazing what happened. I know that wasn't them. That had to be something divine. That had to be something other. Yes, God is in the bewilderment business because there's something about grace that is amazing. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. That's true. Praise him. So which brings us today on this Father's Day to the grace-filled Father. And what we're going to do is we're going to consider our Heavenly Father as the grace-filled Father. But we're also going to be challenged as fathers to become this. And we're also going to be challenged as those who are not fathers yet, or those who can never be because they're ladies, that they will not feel left out this morning. We're going to include you in. There's a place where you can come into a new and renewed relationship with your Heavenly Father as well as your earthly Father. Every good and perfect gift, everybody say perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, which is actually those numbers backwards. I just happened to notice that. So if you then, though you are evil, I'll get it, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, on the first part, I'm kind of insulted because Jesus refers to earthly fathers as evil. But he knows how to cut through all the fog, doesn't he? Compared to the Heavenly Father, he said there's only one that is good. That is God. And he understands the fallenness, he understands the brokenness, and yet at the same time he comments and says, if though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I love it. God's in the giving business, so we need to get in the asking business. Some of us say, no problem. When Dad's around, I don't have any problem asking Dad. Father dear, I need $20. Father dear, I need $50. Father dear, can you move money over into my account? There's not a father in this room that hasn't heard something like that. If you then, though you are evil, he said in Luke 11, verse number 13, listen to the slight change. If you then, though you are evil, same phrase, know how to give good gifts to your children. Same phrase. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What a great download of grace. We looked at that last week. That great explosion. That grace explosion. That grace arrival in that upper room. In fact, I believe Jerry and Beth probably had an opportunity to go to the traditional upper room and maybe even get to sing in that room and hear the great acoustics and think about, just contemplate, somewhere in this area, those people gathered in that room and experienced grace arrival. So, let's look at those gifts. I love that it's plural, don't you? You know, if somebody comes to you and says, I have a gift for you, don't speak out now and indict yourself, but you might say, only one? It better be good, buddy. Just one? It better be a magnificent gift if it's just one. But listen to this. If you know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit? In the other verse in Matthew, give good gifts to those. I love that plural, don't you? Good gifts, plural. God loves to give. You know, if some of us, if we just can walk out of this room this morning with this burning in our heart, God loves to give to me. And what he does is he's not stingy, but he gives above and beyond all I can ask or think. And he gives magnanimously. He gives gregariously. He loves to give. Why does he commend the cheerful giver? Because God is the perfect cheerful giver. He gives oxygen. He gives nitrogen. He gives proteins and carbohydrates. He gives and gives and gives and gives. And you know what? Never does he go, oh, I'm so tired of giving. He says, look, I'm God. I'm good. I give. This is just the way it is. And I'm telling you, folks, you might as well go into eternity with that expectation because you ain't seen nothing yet. He's not done giving. He gives and gives abundantly, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God is a great and magnificent giver. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Yeah. So let's talk about some of those gifts real quick. How about gifts of presence? Now, some of you are saying that's redundant, gifts and presence. No, I didn't say P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. I said gift of presence. How many of you have ever been in a check stand present with a cashier, but the cashier was not present with you? Have you ever wondered why on all of God's green earth did you pick this job to be around people and ignore them? Couldn't you find another job that was more suited to your personality? But since I'm here and you're here, why don't we just acknowledge each other's presence instead of you acknowledging that lady four rows down and shouting over to that person? How about if you just make eye contact? There is something powerful that happens when you realize you're around somebody and you're in their presence, right? Have you ever encountered somebody you wanted to go up and talk to them, but they were looking for somebody, okay? And you know that they're scanning because they've been positioned there. They're waiting for somebody to come out. And when you try to have a conversation, you know they're not all there. Why? Because they are on a mission. And it makes you, whether it's right or not or rude or not, when you walk into that scenario, it makes you feel like, oh, I was in their presence, yet they were not present with me. And, you know, I've been stuck in situations like that before, the district council or something like that. And I was there. I was given, somebody told me, one of the officials said, I need you to stand by this door and look for so-and-so to come in. When they come in, could you take them and take them backstage and do this? And then people want to come up and be chatty. And you're like, I'm sorry, but I've been asked to look for somebody. Because at first they're like, whoa, I'm talking to him and I'm usually present with him with me, but now he's distant. What's going on? Is something wrong? Maybe Doug doesn't like me anymore. No. And I've had to go back to them. I remembered who came and talked to me. So look, I want to apologize. When you came up to me earlier, I didn't have a chance to talk with you really and be present with you because I was given an assignment. I had my head on a swivel. I needed to hook somebody and pull them in for an assignment. And so I'm sorry. I apologize because that made you feel like, I know how that made you feel. Why? Because I've been there. I've been there and I wore the t-shirt. How many of you have that t-shirt? Some of you saying, t-shirt, I have it in every color of the rainbow. I have an old end of my closet where I've been present with people, but they weren't present with me. Let me tell you something about gifts of presence. God craves and desires to be around you. He wants you to be in his presence, but he also wants to be in your presence. He is the ever-present help in the time of trouble. And we can come into his presence, and we can come into his presence with gratitude, with thanksgiving, and with praise. And when we do, here's what we experience. Here's what happens when you actually get in somebody's presence. You get embrace, proximity, and tenderness. Wow. How many of you like tenderness? How many of you like when you're around somebody to actually be in proximity to them? Now, some of you are saying, watch it, Bubba. I have this 3-foot zone around me I like to maintain, and you're getting in my space. How many of you know some people don't have any sense of appropriate boundaries, you know? Some of us have boundaries that are like 10 feet. Some of us have boundaries of 3 feet. Other people, we're comfortable embracing one another, getting right. You know, we can handle halitosis. We pop in a breath mint. You know, we can overlook all of that. We don't mind being right there in somebody's proximity. We have varying ways that we like to be in people's proximity. How many of you know God understands that? He is the God of proximity. He is the God of embrace. He is the God of tenderness. And something that I tell you has marked my life, and I'm looking back at Anush Bullock, because every time I think of the words, Abba, Father, I always hear the voice, and I've been blessed with Shannon Blake, who has come to be a part of our congregation, and if you sit by him and he prays, you will hear him say this. He will say, Daddy God. He's not the first one I've ever heard do that. I've stood and sat and listened as Anush has ministered to this congregation from our old facility, and you can't be around her without sometime hearing her say, Oh, Daddy God, Father. Now, the religious spirit always goes, ooh. But those of us who are experienced in knowing the presence of God, we go, yes. I have a spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. We're comfortable with that. God's comfortable with that. Jesus is comfortable with that. The Holy Spirit is comfortable with that. And I just wanted to commend you in it, because to this day, whenever I read the words in Scripture, Abba, Father, I hear the voice of Anush Bullock tinged with her Eastern European accent saying, Daddy God. I hear it every time, and it's a blessing. So I just wanted to tell you, I'm blessed by that, and I want to thank you this morning. Would you give Anush a hand for that? Yeah. That's somebody who understands proximity, somebody who understands presence, who understands what it's like and how they have been rescued and how they have been warmed and how they've been touched by the embrace and the proximity and tenderness. So to us as fathers, one of the most powerful things we can do is to bring embrace and proximity and tenderness into our relationship with our children. To this day, I have powerful memories of the smell of Brute aftershave, the color of a sweater, and sitting on my dad's lap, leaning back as he was talking, and hearing the resonance of his voice in his chest. What is that? That's a gift. That is a gift that keeps giving. That's a wonderful gift. It takes me back to 1965 and 1966. It takes me back to those moments that says, proximity, I have time for you. I want you to be with me, not get away from me, kid. You're bothering me. What would happen in our lives if we realized that God is looking for opportunities of proximity, embrace, and tenderness? Wow. I think it would transform our life. I'm telling you this morning, He has that gift for you. Guys, as fathers, you can give and continue to give that gift to your children. It may take some redoing. It may take some repenting and saying, I'm sorry, in the past it wasn't this way. But from here on out, let this be a time of proximity. When you're in my presence, you're really in my presence. How about this one? Gifts of time. Getting on people's wavelength and having patience. When you have gifts of time, you have to have patience involved. How many of you know kids and grandkids take patience? People take patience. Persons take patience. So if God is going to deal with us as people, He's going to have to roll out some serious gifts of time. God believes you are worth His time. In fact, He's the inventor of time. He is the creator of time and the dealer in time. God has time for you. What would happen if you went into His presence rather than saying, I'm really sorry to bother you, God. I know you're busy with some other things. Instead, you marched into His presence with thanksgiving and praise and said, here I am again. I just couldn't wait to get back and spend some more time with you. Let me just assure you of something. God never goes, oh no, there's that guy Doug from Lake Worth. He never does that. Here's that one preacher. He's always bugging me. Please, angel, somebody, could you take this one? No, He doesn't do that. He says, man, I'm so glad to see you. I'm especially fond of you. Come and be in my presence. Let's get on one another's wavelength. In fact, I thought so much of you that I became a man and spoke your language and learned your language so we could communicate. I have time for you, and you can't ever outdo my patience. I'm always willing to invest time with you. Give the Lord a hand clap. As fathers, we can do that. As people, we can realize God wants to invest that in us. How about this one? Gifts of words. How many of you know words are powerful? Here's one of those big old lies of all time. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Are you kidding me? Words can be toxic. Can absolutely eviscerate you and tear you down to the depths of your being. A person of authority, a father, a mother, a person of significance speaking short or having no patience for you and sowing bad seeds in your life, that can be a nightmare that resonates the rest of your life. Aren't you glad God can overcome all that? Huh? Aren't you glad God can overcome all that? He has some gifts of words for us, and we can have gifts of words for other people, because if we receive, we can freely give. Gifts are meant to be given away. How about this? Encouragement, instruction, and blessing. Huh? Encouragement. The scripture clearly says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Why does it have to say that? Because dads tend to exasperate children. That's why. Because we forget the powerful role that we have to be a powerful encourager, an instructor, and someone who blesses, who's willing to back you up even with a half-baked plan, because the half that is baked is pretty good. The rest of it may be a mess. We can pick that up later. But what if I just dared to believe? And what if I just dared to walk with you? What if I just dared to get behind you and realize something? Your dad believes in you. Your dad is willing to instruct you. Your father is willing to speak blessing. Go with me to the baptism of Jesus with John. And as he comes up out of the water, the Spirit like a dove descends upon him. And then a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. How many of you think you could go all the way to the cross 3 years later based on that? Just a word from God. Just a blessing spoken from heaven. And yet we have a book full of blessing. We have words constantly uttered over us by the Son of God himself, who comes and says, I want to show you the Father. I want to show you the Father. What would happen if we dared to believe as believers the Heavenly Father loves us and he is speaking encouragement into our life. He is speaking instruction over our life. And he thinks nothing about taking his hands and outstretching over and says, I bless you. I'm with you. I'm going to accompany you. I'm going to be with you with my presence. I'm going to support you. I'm going to fund you. I'm going to heal you. And I'm going to walk with you. I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap this morning. Wow, I'm so glad that God encourages. And may I encourage you. Let me speak this word of encouragement, maybe instruction. That's something you can give away. I was, to this moment, we didn't have the time this morning really to watch this. I would encourage you to Google Jordan Peterson on Dr. Oz. Dr. Jordan Peterson on Dr. Oz. And in that, there's a powerful moment about halfway through where he is asked to share. He was a clinical psychologist, a studier of humanity, anthropology, statistics. He has dealt with a lot of broken people. He is not coming intrinsically from a Christian point of view. But Dr. Oz questioned him and asked him what are some of the things that he was struck with. And he says, as I have given my lectures, I have traveled the country, I have traveled the world. Time after time after time after time, I have somebody come up to me and say, thank you for sharing this. It absolutely changed my life because I got things straightened out. And he looked at Dr. Oz, this incredibly brilliant man and well-spoken man, and he began to get choked up. He sat there with his voice cracking, And he said, just a few words of encouragement have absolutely transformed people's lives that were wrecked. And I have been driven to this understanding. Encouragement is one of the easiest things to give and the most powerful things that works in the lives of humanity. But it is so rare. And he sat there, and just thinking about it, it breaks me up. It just gets right down in here, and it pulls tears and cracks my voice, because that's so true. But when somebody says, I believe in you, God believes in you, I'm with you, I'm praying for you, I'm not going to let you go and be by yourself, I'm going to stand with you, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to believe with you. When you can do this with the help of God, you can do this by the power of the Word of God, you can do this, you can do this, you can take this stand. And when we have people cheer them on, we begin to catch a sight of that heavenly crowd that Paul kind of describes as gathered there. We are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. So let us run with patience the race that is set before us, because we realize there's people who are standing there and they're in the stands and they're cheering and they're saying, by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ, which gives you strength. You can bear up under the difficulty. You can see it through to the end. You don't have to quit. You can get it done, all to the glory and the authority of Jesus, the Christ of God. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you this morning. And as a father, I just want to be way better at encouraging. And at least I have some grandkids right down here on the horizon that I can be an encouragement to them. There's some things that I'm going to get to do with them and my children that I didn't do a very good job with when I was younger. But it's so powerful. Encouragement, instruction, and blessing. How about this one? Gifts of resources. How many of you like resources? I like resources. Some of you say, I like the green resources or the plastic resources with the little chip in the corner. I like those resources. Gifts of resources. Generous, appropriate, and transformative. That's how God gives. He always gives generously. Everybody say generously. Generously. This is part of the confession of me as a father for myself. I have to constantly deal with a spirit of stingy. I'm just being honest. Okay? Because you want to run a filter on them so you can give them bare minimums. Now, part of it is because there's a constant drain. As a father, and you're raising a family of four, I had four small children all at the same time. So after a while, you have to say, look, you know, we only have so much. Here's what it is. Let's divide it up. Let's see how it goes. But in your heart, every man in this room knows this to be true. If you had $1 million, you'd give it all away to your kids. If you had $10 million, you'd give it all away to your kids. You would. You wish you had it. And there's nothing more stressful in the heart of a father than to know that the need or the desire even amongst their children is greater than what they're able to provide. But we also know this as fathers. We're often, very often, in that position. And I had to learn how to say the Father will provide, and I would have to point them to the Heavenly Father, and we pray together and we lay that before the Lord. And let me tell you some great news. Great resources came to the Martin family because we prayed together, and then we were able to sing an old song Larnell Harris used to sing. Remember him? Some of you are going, who? Larnell Harris and Sandy Patty. And everybody under 30 is going, who? He used to come to our church in Salem, Ohio, and one of the songs he would sing is, children, lift your voices, for the Father hath provided again. And I learned that song, and I got to sing that a lot around the Martin table. And when we sit there saying, how are we going to afford this? How are we going to get an instrument? How are we going to get a saxophone? How are we going to do this? I wanted to buy him 10 saxophones and furnish private lessons and a limo to take them back and forth. But I couldn't do it. But my Heavenly Father can. And so I would say, hey, let's go to the Father because he has the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the potatoes under the hills and the gold and the veins of gold and the coal and every resource we could possibly need. And we would go to God time after time after time. And let me tell you what he would do. He would come not with a banged up, nasty old saxophone, but somebody would ring our phone and say, we bought this brand new top of the line saxophone. Our daughter used a little bit. Here it is. Perfectly good. We've had it reconditioned. We're just looking for somebody to be able to play it. And we would get a saxophone that was better than anything Dad could have rented. And it was free. Amazing. Clarinets, trumpets, guitars, time after time after time, these blessings would find. Why? Because we went to the Father and he would always come generously. He would always come appropriately with what we really needed. And it would always give an opportunity for transformation. Wow. God is so good. He gives. And he gives gifts of resources. He knows just what you have need of. He knows what you have need of before you ask. He is the one who provides. He is the one who comes generously, appropriately, and transforms our life. And he transforms our mourning into singing and our sad countenance into dancing. And we get to come into his presence and say, I just want to rejoice before you, Father, because I laid that need before you. But now I get to come in today and brag on you and talk about how it was that you provided according to your riches in glory. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Gifts of resources. I want to tell you a little secret, dads. You may not have the resources, but you can serve a Father who does. And you can bridge the gap of the understanding between those little ones, those kids and those grandchildren, and help them to understand something. My dad may not have the resources, but he has a Father who does. And I sure would like to know that Father. Finally, point number 5, gifts of reputation. I called it point number 4, but it's actually the second point number 4, so for those of you who like to roll with me that way. Point number 5, gifts of reputation. A respected name, a good network, power and authority, and advantage. The Bible says a good name is to be more desired than riches. There is something that every father in this room can have, and that is a name that's worthy. A name, because why? Because you're called and named by the name that is above every name. It's not about your standing in society. It's about your standing before the throne. It's not about your standing upon the earth, but it's your standing in heaven. It's about your relationship with him. God confers to us gifts of reputation. And you know what God has said? It's recorded in Scripture that he has put his name upon us. Think about that. His name is on me. And his name is on you. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, his name is marked upon you. It says, this one is born in Zion. This one belongs to me. This one has all rights and privileges pertaining to the great name above every name. We have a respected name. Every knee and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the name of Jesus that he is Lord. We have a great network. Amen? We're not talking about ABC, NBC, CBS. We're talking about the great network of a great company of angels and saints of God, a great network as in the people of God upon the face of the earth. We get to be a part of a great network. Power and authority has been given to us in the name of Jesus, and we have been given every advantage. We need to take advantage of it. We need to see a bunch of believers here at Vision Church take advantage of that. And as children, we can say, Father, you have given me every advantage. I want to live up to that. You have a great name, Father. I want to honor your name. You have a great reputation, and you have put your reputation upon me. I want to walk under that sense, not of the heaviness and crushing burden of it, but the great privilege I have that when I walk around anywhere on the earth or in the heavenlies, they take notice. I am not my own. I'm bought with a price. And I belong to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And His name is upon me. And angels are aware of it. Demons are aware of it. False men are aware of it. We've been marked. And we have a great advantage and a great privilege. Wow. So, here's the question as we pray. How can I open my heart and align with the Father? Everyone in this room can ask that question. How can I open my heart more and align with the Heavenly Father? And I want to challenge every man in this room to think about this. And I want to challenge every man in this room that will one day possibly be a father, then a grandfather. How can I open my heart to my children and my grandchildren to better reflect the Father? It's not on me, it's about Him. And now I get to stand in here. This is not no man's land, this is the best man's land, where I can stand between my children and my Father in heaven and be constantly talking to my children about the Father in heaven and see them come into that relationship. To reflect to them in very tangible ways His nature and His ways, so that they can experience it. They can get a taste of it down on their level, in their presence, connected with them. So how can I open my heart and align with the Father in heaven? And how can I open my heart to my children, my grandchildren, to better reflect the Father? Father, we bow before You this morning. We thank You that You are present. We have sensed Your presence from the very beginning of the early time of this morning. Walking around in prayer, You are ever present help in the time of trouble. You've accompanied us, all of us, into this place. And here we are, amassed together in this room. And we're in Your presence. And You are delighted to be referred to as the Heavenly Father. The Father of us all. The Father above. Jesus was delighted to say, I'm going to my Father, even your Father, my God and your God. The Holy Spirit is delighted to draw us and woo us and usher us into the very presence of Almighty God, and for us to be empowered with the spirit of adoption to cry, Abba, Father. So we're just asking You, Father, in Your presence, just becoming tender and open to You, being in proximity and closeness to Your presence. And we're just asking this question. How can I open my heart more? Holy Spirit, would You just move upon me? Would You show me? How can I become more open? Just as a person, as a child, as an individual, to the Father. And as a father, as a man who could become a father one day, how can I make it my ambition to open my heart more to this great Heavenly Father and say, I want to represent You better. I want to reflect You better. I want to be a better reflection to my children, even my adult children, and to my grandchildren, even my adult grandchildren. I want to be that kind. I want to be a spiritual father. I want to reflect well a father's heart. There are orphans. There are people who are disjointed without family. And I can connect to them. And I can love them like a father. I can love them as my own. And I can love them as the Heavenly Father. I can be God with skin on. And I can open my heart to You. And I can reflect well Your reputation, Your gifts, Your giving, Your nature. I can become a channel. I can become a vessel, not just a receptacle, but somebody who not only receives, but they give also. We're just asking, Holy Spirit, help us to open our hearts. Help us to become that pass-through vessel. Help us to be that person who eagerly gives what they have received. Help us to step away from the condemnation of the enemy who accuses us and criticizes us as people and as fathers, and instead walk into the encouragement of the Father who says, Son, I've received You. Now You can walk in My ways and I'll show you. I'll show you how to be more like Me every day, just a little bit more. Every day, just a little bit more. You can do this with the power of my Son and the anointing of my Spirit. You can do this. I provided a way for you to do it, not in your own strength, but in mine. You can do it. You can do it. Lord, help us to hear your encouragement. Help us to hear and feel your and sense your warmth and your graciousness. You're a good, good Father. And we want to be a grace-filled people, receiving grace from a grace-filled Father and becoming grace-filled fathers and grandfathers. And we pray that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet on this Father's Day. And let me just say this to you as you stand. May His grace and His peace in superabundance accompany you and cover you and carry you in His presence this week. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Lord bless you as you go. No ladies' Bible study tonight in honors of Father's Day. Remember, guys, there's a gift out there for you. Be sure to go by and get one to start. Lord bless you as you go.